Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Chicago, the band bringing us back. Great, one of the great bands of the 20th century, and they're still rocking after all these years. Just like me, just like you, small business owners. You're still rocking after all these years. I'm Jim Blasingame. I am the Small Business Advocate. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and ageofthecustomer.com. That's for my book, so I hope you check that out. Having a great visit with our good friend Joel Barker. I don't want to miss any of our time with him. He's one of the great futurists of our time, as I've been saying for a long time, and somebody I've been a student of for now probably 25 years, just about. Joel, thanks again for hanging out with us. JoelBarker.com, right?
Absolutely, and it's always fun to hang out with you.
I appreciate that, Joel. Hey, Joel, folks, we're talking about things that Joel is seeing that in his foresight work, things that he's reporting on, basically, with the work of others and how you and I should be looking out for these things in our future. One of the things that you're tracking, Joel, is a way to have an impact on the severity of hurricanes.
Yep. Professor Mark Jacobson at Stanford is a modeler, and he's an environmental modeler. So he builds models that you run in computers to see what happens. And we've gotten very sophisticated with our modeling. I actually got to study modeling with the Limits to Growth team back in the 70s, and so we're way more sophisticated than my starting on it. Anyway, he asked an interesting question, and it's called a geoengineering question, because he's asking, can human beings take on a natural phenomenon that is so big and so powerful that it causes devastation across thousands of miles of land, and that is a hurricane.
Right.
So he built a model asking a simple question. How many wind generators would I have to put in the Gulf of Mexico to substantially slow down a hurricane, because the wind generators, of course, would spin because of the wind and take energy out of the hurricane's leading edge, therefore changing it.
But
and
then,
I'm going to give you the numbers, and then we can talk about it. So he ran his model and said, yes, we can have a significant, and I'll give you what I mean by significant effect in a second here, by putting somewhere around 78,000 wind generators.
Holy mackerel.
In along the coast. Now, that's just
that's a lot of generators.
Number. But listen to the results. With those generators placed the way they were, as the hurricane would sweep through the generators, its speed would be reduced by 80 to 98 miles an hour. Reduced.
Mm-hmm.
So it would go from a 150-mile-an-hour hurricane to a 60-mile-an-hour, 50-mile-an-hour hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all of a sudden. And here's what he said. If you look at the cost of the damage that you reduce, you pay for those windmills.
Yeah.
And they're generating electricity as well.
But 78,000 generators off the coast.
Yeah.
We're talking about an eyesore. We're talking about maintenance issues. Who manages it? I mean, where's the funding for it? I mean, there's all kinds of. I'll tell you, even with all that though, Joel, my first thought is, okay, now you're tinkering with Mother Nature.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that's the right thing to do. I mean, obviously I don't want people to die. I don't want their houses to be blown away.
Right.
But you know what? Planet Earth it sort of concerns me. What do you think? Is that reasonable for me to think that way?
It's reasonable to ask those questions, because those are the questions the future would ask. What are the long-term consequences?
Mm-hmm.
Because as you were saying those things, I was thinking, man, the manufacturing jobs that it would produce. Wow, the maintenance jobs that it would produce.
Right.
Yes, it would be an eyesore if you went out 15 miles, but from Louisiana, you know, from the coast, you couldn't even see them.
Right, that's true.
And they are generating non-carbon-based.
Now, that's another thing. If the byproduct could be to turn it into energy, that's another thing.
But those are wind generators.
Yes,
what they are.
Aren't we doing more wind generation? Why aren't we doing more water surge? you know, more turbines in the water. It looks to me like I just got back from Hawaii, in the north shore of Hawaii. If there's one thing they got in the wintertime, they got waves.
Yeah.
And so I'm looking at those waves, and I'm thinking, why can't Oahu generate power from those?
Here's what I can tell you. If you map the trend on wind generation and solar, it is growing steadily. It's not episodic anymore. It is growing steadily. And so what is happening is, very quietly, not with a big bang, but with a steady movement, sustainable, clean energy is becoming a really important source. And we are now, see, the next step, Jim, is the smart network that can manage the electricity and move it around smartly, and the batteries. Remember we talked about those liquid batteries that can hold so much? When you get all the pieces in place, then that's almost an unstoppable trend.
And what also is happening, notwithstanding some of the stuff that's been done by the Obama administration in the last 5 years, most of what you're talking about is happening in concert with science and business, and these are things that are coming online that make business sense as well as environmental sense. I like the balance of these things.
Yep. Add to the balance government research.
Absolutely.
That started many of these things.
No question.
You got to have all those pieces in place, and we have them. So what I would say is 10 years from now, we'll listen to this question. We'll be a little older, Jim, you and I, and we'll be saying, remember when we talked those wind generators?
We told you that. Joel told you that was going to happen.
I said that would happen.
That's right. Pass the Geritol. Hold on to that thought. We're going to come right back and talk about some new Alzheimer's research, ladies and gentlemen, that Joel's excited about. I think he will be, too. JoelBarker.com is his website. Folks, check it out. You'll thank me later. Tintel, I'm Jim Blassingame. I'll be right back.
She was a beat-bop baby on a hard day's night. She was hanging on Johnny. He was holding on.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.